Hi there, welcome to Talk Canicross. I'm Janetta George.
And I'm Gail Walker. We're here today to talk all things Canicross, the fun way to get fit with your dog.
So each month we'll be joined by a special guest or two. We'll hear from professionals, regular Canicrossers, and also dog and human experts in their field. It will be real people and real stories.
So we hope you'll join us, whether it's for training tips, dog talk, or just for fun and encouragement. This is Talk Canicross, brought to you by DogFit. And don't forget to hit subscribe and keep in touch with all things Canicross.
So a top priority for any dog owner is the health and well-being of your dog. And when we introduce them to a new sport that ups their activity levels, it's important to monitor their weight and nutrition. And the same goes for dogs that might have been canicrossing for a while, but perhaps you've decided to focus on a goal. And this might involve working towards long distances like half marathon or a marathon. So today we're joined by Rebecca Thompson, who is a senior customer service advisor at Skinners. And Rebecca helps advise dog owners on getting their nutrition right and also guiding them on weight management. So really pleased to have you on the show today and look forward to you sharing some of your expertise with us. But welcome, Rebecca.
Oh, thanks ever so much. So thanks ever so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to having a chat with you guys.
Yeah, hi Rebecca. Lovely to be with you today. So I guess my first burning question, and it might seem a really obvious one, but what are the things we should be looking for to understand if a dog is overweight or in fact if they're underweight? You know, what are the telltale signs?
For sure. So we would look for what we call a body condition score, and you can get charts to help you. Typically what I would look for is, are the ribs should be easily felt but not seen. So if you have to apply any pressure to really feel the ribs, that's quite a good sign that your dog is carrying just a little bit too much weight. If you can see the ribs when the dog is standing at rest, that can be a sign that the dog is underweight. If you ran your hand down your dog's spine, again, you should the spine should be easily felt but not seen. And so if you're able to see the dog's spine, the hip bones are prominent, then that can be a sign that the dog is underweight. If there are fat deposits around the root of the tail, around the neck and the shoulders, and you really have to sort of give a bit of a squeeze around the ribs, and there's no waist or the waist is becoming less defined, those are all signs that the dog is overweight.
Oh, interesting. And I know that obviously we've got many different builds of dogs. So do you apply that sort of rule? I mean, I guess if you had a whippet and then you're looking against a bull terrier, do those rules apply for both?
So my example that I use is a pug. Obviously, pug is not your usual dog that you'd have out on Canicross, but the pug is the example that I use in that they will have quite a different shape. And so especially a dog that has excess skin as well, like a Shar Pei, it's a bit different to how I would body condition a score a breed, say like a Pointer or a Labrador. And in those cases, what I would suggest, if you're not sure, speak to your local veterinary nurse who will be able to give you a good guide. And then I would suggest that for anyone who's thinking, do you know what, I'm really not sure if my dog is overweight or underweight, have a chat with your vet nurse and she'll be able to offer you some good impartial advice on how to body condition score your dog.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And I also think just having a health check every 6 months is a good idea, isn't it? Which I definitely do with my dogs. Yeah. So you mentioned about the signs for whether your dog's overweight or underweight. So, you know, what are the repercussions, you know, the concerns that if your dog might be a little bit overweight or they're underweight, you know, what are what's the impact of that, I guess, if you haven't got the right weight?
Of course. So if the dog is carrying too little weight, firstly, you've got less insulation against any cold weather. It could have a knock on effect on the coat condition of the dog. So you may have the dog would have poor coat condition, poor skin healing. So if they had like any little cuts or anything like that, it would take longer for the skin to heal. There's the possibility of muscle wastage. And lower fertility rates as well. So it's more unlikely that the dog would come into season for a bitch in a timely way. If the dog was carrying too much weight, there would be stress on the joints, especially with high impact activity like running. And for breeds that are prone to joint problems such as dysplasia or arthritis, that would for me be the key reason to keep weight off the dog. Again, you've got lower fertility rates, so it would be harder to get a bitch pregnant if she was overweight. And there's also more stress on the organs, such as the heart and the liver.
Oh, interesting. For people that might be listening to this that has their dog maybe is a little bit overweight and they know that they need to obviously cut that down and they've taken some advice on what they should be doing, you know, it's a little bit hard, isn't it? Especially because dogs always seem hungry. I mean, and I know that with my own dog, she'd probably eat all day and snack all day if we let her do that. And my husband is a bit of a nightmare as well for sneakily giving her treats. She could look really sad. But is that a normal thing for dogs always to be hungry and obviously happy to eat at any time?
Yeah, for sure. So the Labrador appetite is legendary. You know, there is nothing that compares to the appetite of a Labrador. So but there can be actually some physiological issues that play a part in that. So scientists at Cambridge University, they found a variant of a gene that could have a direct impact on a dog's appetite and weight gain. And this was most prevalent in Labradors and flat coat retrievers. Other causes of increased hunger could be a thyroid issue or steroid medication. Sometimes there can be an increase of appetite after being neutered or spayed. And so there can sometimes be a real physiological reason behind your dog's hunger. Other times, you know, the domestic dog could be a gorge feed, you know, could be classed as a gorge feeder. And so actually you wouldn't ever really get to the bottom of that appetite. So I had a friend whose dog broke into the feed shed and ate 10 kilos of food in one sitting.
Oh my goodness.
And I know, and had to, and that dog had to actually have surgery to remove that amount of food in the gut. But that's the sort of appetite you can be looking at for some dogs. And you're not, with all the will in the world, you're never going to get, you know, feed the dog until they cannot eat anymore. And a dog shouldn't be fed until they can't eat anymore, just like humans shouldn't be. So a healthy dog will always finish their meal sniffing around the bowl for more. I would also suggest if you've got any family members that like to sneak the odd biscuit, and believe me, I understand because I've got the same problem. A good way to get around that is to what I would tend to do is weigh the dog's food out and then set aside about 20 grams of food in a separate bowl. And anytime anyone wants to treat the dog, they can go straight to that little bowl and take out from there. So the dog feels like they're getting a treat. The human feels like they're giving a treat, but the dog is never being overfed because it's coming directly out of their daily portion.
Oh, that's really good advice. I'm going to try that.
I'm not sure my dogs would like that, the sound of that, but it is good advice. But we're all guilty of it, and I suppose we just have to sort of, my view is that as well, going back to what you were saying about with the dogs overweight or underweight, if you've got a dog that's looking healthy, it's about questioning why they're constantly hungry, if it's not just because they're on the scrounge. Like you said, there could be physiological reasons that might need to be explored.
Yeah, for sure.
So obviously Janetta and I, as we run Dog Fit, we're particularly interested in the impact of nutrition on Canicross dogs who are particularly active. Now, we have clients that run their dogs anything from 5K up to marathons. Yeah. So every dog, and obviously every dog's different, it depends on the breed and how often they're running and doing their training, but generally speaking, they're particularly active dogs and we refer to them as our dog athletes. So aside from some of the examples you've cited about, you know, getting in you know, a bit more food and making sure they're eating the right, you know, the right diet. You know, what particular things should we be looking out for with our Canicross dogs? You know, are there certain nutrients that they should be taking on above and beyond a regular dog? You know, because it's like with people, you get, you know, if you've got somebody who leads a normal sedentary lifestyle versus somebody who's quite athletic and does a lot of running, should there be a difference in what they're eating or how often they're eating?
Yeah, so dogs would preferentially use fat as an energy source. So as their activity levels pick up, it's possible that you may need to switch to a diet with a higher fat level. Protein can be used as an energy source, but actually the dog's body has to work a little bit harder to convert the protein into energy. And so typically a harder working dog's diet would contain more protein, not for energy, but for muscle repair and regeneration. So if your dog's activity levels are increasing, it's typically fats and proteins that I would be looking at for those reasons. So fat for the energy and protein for the muscle repair.
Right, interesting. And I know that in your capacity there, you're advising people all the time and you get inquiries in. Can you give us an example of maybe someone that's rung in and inquired? Obviously, you're not going to name any names, but that it's canicrossing with a dog, and what kind of questions you get asked?
For sure. So I had a lady just recently, and she called because she had a pointer that she was doing canicross with, and the dog was running underweight, and she wondered how she could get weight onto the dog. The dog was, you know, fighting fit, loved canicross, loved getting out there and running with her. And so we talked first about what is the dog's current daily intake. So what did that involve? Was it a complete food, and how much of that was, how much protein and fats the dog was taking on. We talked about increasing the portion size as a possibility, or if the dog is unable to tolerate that, and by that I mean, does the dog's stools become loose if you try and increase the portion size? Then it would be more a case of increasing the nutritional density of the food. And so you would change the diet to one that was higher in fats.
Thank you. I actually wanted to mention your get out and go range as well, because the energy bars and recovery bars are brilliant. And I think they go down well with some of our Canicross customers. And I use them more as a little bit extra if I know they're going to be doing a bit more work.
That's right. So, and again, typically with dogs that they give their absolute all, and I do see this more with spaniels, but they can, you know, just physically run themselves into the ground. And so a good digestible snack fed throughout the day, that can be a really good way to keep them on their feet, to give them the stamina to work into the afternoon. Of course, you have to be careful with how you feed a dog throughout the day, especially with a deep-chested breed. But a small amount of a good digestible snack is a great way to fuel your dog's stamina into the afternoon.
And keep them going so they can keep canicrossing. But I mean, you know, we're in full canicross season at the moment, and the weather's lovely and it's cool, and the dogs, you know, obviously hot to run. But because the weather is colder, would you expect that you might have to feed your dogs a bit more? I mean, I know as humans, we all like, you know, the hot chocolate and all the rest of it because the weather's cold. But for dogs, would you expect that they might drop off a little bit more in the winter?
It's certainly possible, yes. And so it's like us, you know, when it gets cold, we instinctively want to eat a little bit more. But if the dog isn't active, that urge to eat just a little bit more, it can increase weight. So do just keep an eye on that. It's about rather than just a flat, you know, can, you know, does the dog need more energy? It's all about maintaining your dog's ideal body condition. So I would suggest, typically, if your dog is very active, so you're doing canicross more than sort of once or twice a week, yeah, I would check them once a week if you're active with the dogs, bi-weekly or monthly if you're less active, and adjust the diet to suit. Generally, I would be keeping more of an eye on my dog's weight in the colder months, just because there is more of a demand on the energy to keep the dogs warm. So do check it more. But it could be that you don't actually have to make any changes to the dog's diet. It's just something that I would keep more of an eye on as the weather got colder.
Okay. And any good tips for how to get your dog to get on scales? Because that's always, if you can't get to the vets to weigh them.
Well, for sure.
I've not even got on the scales and picked the dog up.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So what I tend to suggest is if you're able to pick your dog up, weigh you both together and then weigh just yourself. If they're a big dog that you can't do that with, what I tend to suggest to customers is, can you get them to just put their front 2 feet on your bathroom scales? It won't give you their whole weight, but it will give you an idea if they're going up or down. So that's just one way you can monitor, you know, is their weight going up or down? Get them to stand their front 2 feet on there. Other than that, it's a bribery with treats.
Yeah, I find that's usually the best thing. Yeah, definitely bribery. Thank you for that tip anyway. So you talked about sort of how often you should be feeding them and thinking about quantities, especially during the winter, and especially if you've got active dogs and keeping a close eye on it on a regular basis. But what about the timing of feeding the dog? Because we often get asked that question. You mentioned earlier, Rebecca, about deep-chested dogs and having to be extra careful. And I know that before and after exercise. So what are the sort of general rules around that for people who are quite new to Canicross and not sure, are they doing the right thing by feeding their dog before a run, or how much of their food should they be giving them and how soon before a run?
Yeah, for sure. So I would say ideally over an hour, feed over an hour before exercise to allow for the overall digestion, and even longer for a deep chested dog, a dog that from a breed that may be prone to bloat. My personal general rule of thumb is 2 hours before exercise, 1 hour after is when you would, and that's sort of at least, you know, I'm not saying, you know, get your stopwatch going because it's 2 hours before, but that's a general idea, 2 hours before, 1 hour after. But of course you can use energy bars during the day if your dog needs a little bit of a top up.
And is it fine not to feed them before a run if you're doing an hour's run?
Yes, some dogs they can just get too excitable before, you know, if you're building up to a race and as soon as you get the harness out, well, that's it, because the dog's just far too excited to even think about eating. That's fine. Some people will just feed a single meal in the evening, and that works for the dog. It's all about what works for your dog, you know, and if they can, if feeding one single meal in the evening works for them, then great. We would usually suggest 2 meals a day if you can, one in the morning and one in the evening. But it's, every dog is different, of course, and what works for one dog does not work for another one in the same way. So 2 meals a day if you can, but if one single meal, then that's fine too.
Yeah, I mean, I often, my dogs always get 2 meals a day, but generally speaking they get fed after we take them out early morning for a run, and then we'll feed them as soon as we get back, you know. That's, well, not immediately, yeah. But we haven't got deep chested dogs to worry about, but sure. That's usually how we do it, because I sort of think they can run for an hour without, and they haven't got to have to worry about digestive issues, and then they've got an appetite when they get back as well.
Yeah, that's what I tend to do as well, especially if it's a kind of short, just an early morning run or whatever. Yeah. And one really important aspect for any dog that's canicrossing is obviously hydration. And even though we're in the winter months, we, you know, obviously making sure that our dogs are having enough to drink. And if you're out on a run, I've seen people, you know, give their dogs a drink from a hydration pack or even from a water bottle, or, you know, we find kind of streams, clean water when we're out on a run. But what would be a sign for somebody that their dog maybe is dehydrated? Do you know what the indicators might be? You know, because some dogs, it's really hard to get them to drink, even though you're presenting them with a nice clean bowl of water.
Sure. So indicators of dehydration, they can be dry, sticky gums, thick saliva or dry nose. If you find it difficult to get your dog to drink more, there have been some customers that have used our Skinner's puppy milk, and that sort of doubles both as rehydration and also a snack during the day. So our puppy milk powder, you can mix it at different strengths, but some people make just a very weak solution, and that can encourage the dog to drink as well as giving them a bit more nutrition throughout the day.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that's a really good tip, because I it is always difficult, and you want to make sure that you're putting your dog's interests first and their health first. So I guess I just one final question really, Rebecca. Are there any extra tips that you could share on nutrition for your dog that we haven't covered already? Anything we should be, what are some of the golden rules maybe to sum up?
I think it's important for, I mean, whatever you feed, no matter what diet you are feeding, there will be somebody somewhere who says, oh, you're not doing that, are you? And I think my advice would be, let your dog show you what works for them, because they will, you know, and it's as long as you're monitoring them regularly, as long as you're measuring out their food, and I would always suggest doing that with calibrated scales so you know exactly how much they're feeding, then you're doing the right thing. I think a lot of people can sort of get themselves in a bit of a knot, really, about, you know, oh, am I doing the right thing? And if your dog is happy and healthy, then yes, you are doing the right thing.
That's brilliant advice. And I know that your team at the Skinners are always there on the end of the phone to
absolutely
advise people. And but you're great. That's great, because I know that everyone always has an opinion. And you're right. You're the one that knows your dog. But yeah, no, thank you so much. Been really insightful. And I've learned loads as well.
Good.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you, Rebecca. Thanks so much.
No problem. No problem at all.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Talk Canicross. We really hope that you've enjoyed it. But don't forget to hit subscribe so we can keep you up to date and let you know when the next episode comes out. Happy canicrossing.